The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. The apostles said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who's just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you've done all that you're ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We've done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I guess a good bit of my life I've always thought I didn't have enough faith, because when I prayed, trees didn't fly through the air. But as I've gotten older and read the Bible from a different perspective, Jesus never prayed and a tree flew through the air into the ocean, ever. Nor did the apostles. Nor is there any record in anything in the New Testament that Christians are supposed to be using their prayers to uproot trees. And I noticed the context for this. And I noticed that he uses not just the word tree, but mulberry tree. The Greek word is sycamine. And a mulberry tree was called a mulberry fig tree. And it's not the same mulberry tree that we would know here at the corner of Walnut and Mulberry. The mulberry tree in the Middle East has really deep roots, and they're really extensive. In other words, it's a tree that's almost impossible to kill. You just can't cut it down. And it produced a fig which was not Fig Newton kinds of figs. They were bitter, and they tasted terrible. And the only people who would eat them is poor people, and only a little bit at a time. So when Jesus says, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,'" I've determined he's speaking symbolically. What's happened just before this? Jesus warned his apostles, "You should not cause scandal and lead anyone astray." Then he said, "If someone sins against you and comes back and repents, you got to forgive them. And if they come back seven times a day and repent, you got to forgive them." And the apostles said, "Increase our faith. We can't do it." So Jesus says, symbolically, the deep-rooted hurt and pain and anger in your life, that tree that produces such bitter fruits in your life, if you trust God and you pray, it will be taken out of your heart and cast into the abyss. Now, if you don't know that the sea is the abyss, this gets really easy to just be materialistic about it rather than spiritual. But the abyss is where God... Remember the pigs went into the abyss, into the lake? The abyss is where Satan rules. That at the end of Revelation, what comes out of the great seas? All those horrible creatures. So what Jesus is saying literally is, you need to forgive everyone when they repent. We say literally, you don't understand how hard that is. He says literally, if you pray with faith, God can uproot all that stuff from your life and cast it into the never-ending eternity where you're free. That's why he then talks about this thing about slaves. Because we're his servants, and our task is to bring kingdom forgiveness to the world. Why is the church having such a hard time in the world today? Well, one reason is because church people tend to be kind of judgmental. And church people tend to be unreluctant in forgiving and not forgiving. We don't feel bad about not forgiving. They don't deserve it. In other words, church people end up looking just like everyone else in our society. We haven't been changed. And so people don't see value in us talking about God's love and mercy when we don't bring love and mercy to the table. And of course, everyone thinks it's the other team doing it, right? With those, they're not, you know, we love everyone except for conservatives. I've heard that once or twice in my life. Well, that's like half the population, so that's really not, you're not hitting a lot there. And of course, I know how bad we can be because I'm one of us, but the point in all this is God's forgiveness requires a response. His forgiveness is a grace. So I don't know a lot about medicine, but I know if I go to the doctor and out of the gratuity of their heart, they say, here's this medicine will make you better. And I take the medicine and go home. I know we have pharmacists, but for the sake of argument here, they give me the medicine. I go home, and a week later, they said, are you feeling better? And I say, no. And they said, well, are you taking the medicine? I said, no. You gave it to me. Why do I have to take it? Do you understand? So we're given forgiveness, but if we don't receive the forgiveness, if we don't repent, it's just bottled up. They're not doing anything. But here's the other part that a lot of us don't understand. It's not only receiving it, it's also giving it. So I'm going to ask you a question. What's more important, breathing in or breathing out? Breathing in. I said, all right, you just breathe in and don't breathe out. We'll see how that goes. Breathing in is receiving the mercy of God. So when God pours his mercy into me, I breathe it in. But if I don't breathe that mercy out, what happens is I fail to thrive as a human being. I don't tell you to forgive people because I care. I really don't care if you forgive people. I tell you to forgive people because I love you, and until you do, you're going to remain bitter, angry, and unsuccessful as a human being. That's just a fact. People who do not forgive do not have successful human lives, and they get physically sick a lot. They get physically sick a lot. So, you and I are servants of a gospel mission. We're servants of Christ, and our mission, our task, is to bring mercy to everyone, the mercy of God, but our own forgiveness, our own mercy, is part of the process. So then, it kind of ends up with this, well, you're just a worthless slave. So, if you're a certain age, I mean, like when I was younger, I thought I was going to be all right, but not anymore. You know, and I can tell how mature someone is when I say, I just feel like I'm garbage. And they go, oh, that's not true. You really haven't grown much, have you? Because really, when you get down to it, you reach this point in life, you should start realizing, gosh, even the best stuff I've done has been motivated by selfish purpose. I'm really not that great a deal. Like, I don't see where God's going to be so excited when he sees me. And I'm not thinking any of you are going to light his light, if you know what I mean. It's not that we're so amazing that he loves us, right? And plus, being a parent helps too, because like I figured out, they're not going to turn out the way I had hoped. I love them, but there's a lot of stuff they do that, not your daughter or your daughter, I mean, all of you with your kids here, that's not true of you. But for the rest of us, there's so many conflicts we have because it's just not. Well, yeah, there's times we're all, and worthless doesn't mean have no worth at all. It really means just failing. We fail too much. So when Jesus says, look, you're just doing what you're supposed to do. Think of the restaurant. When they bring your food out, you get up and say, well, here, you sit on. Let me go get you some food. I know there's probably two of you would, but for most of us, we expect if we're paying you, you're going to bring the food. So they're just doing their job. Our job is just to bring mercy into the world. That's their job. Bring healing and reconciliation to the world. If we don't do our job well, there'll be wars. There'll be conflicts. So doing our job, it benefits us as well. But Jesus is saying, when you do this forgiveness thing, you can uproot the bitterness of your life and don't think it's some big deal. All you've done is what you're supposed to do. But I want to give you the happy side of this. So in Luke 12:37, Jesus says, blessed are the slaves whom the master finds alert when he arrives unexpectedly. For the master will fasten his belt, feed them, and serve them. The exact opposite. So we shouldn't view ourselves as saying to God, well, here's what you owe me. What we should understand is God wants to give that to us. And that imagery is exactly what Jesus did. He bound himself up at the Last Supper, right? He multiplied the loaves. He fed people. He healed people. So Jesus is not saying when you're a slave, and if I feel worthless compared to God, he's going to say, that's fine, you are, but I love you anyhow. And I'm going to treat you well. And don't worry about yourself anyhow. It's all about other things. So don't look at you, good or bad. Don't look at you. Then he says, if you do your job, you're going to get a promotion. He doesn't just say in chapter 12. He says in chapter 19 as well. But he gives a warning that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, it's going to turn out badly for you. So the mission of the church is to bring the mercy and love of God to everybody. And your mission as a human being is to receive that love and mercy and in faith to uproot that tree of bitter fruit that has ruined your family life, not ruined it, has injured your family life, has injured your relationships, has limited you in the workplace and in all your aspects of your life. That in faith, just believe that God wants to get that garbage out of you and believe it and then share with other people. And understand if you share with other people, you're only doing job one, what we're supposed to be doing. Have a good week. Let's profess our faith.